Friday greetings to all of Turdville. Turd Ferguson returns. It's the last Friday of January. January 30th, Super Bowl weekend here in the U.S. Time to wrap up the week and look forward to next week. Welcome back. Hey, I hope you had a chance to listen to that A to A yesterday with Chris Martinson. Great stuff. Sharp cat. And very helpful and instructive. So over the weekend, if you haven't had a chance to review that podcast yet, please do. And please also listen to this podcast because we got a lot to talk about. Let's start with a review because every once in a while, old Turd has himself a pretty good week. And this one ranks right up there with some of the recent performance. Just last Friday, I told you to expect a return to the deflationary trade this week. Lo and behold, we certainly got that. S&P down 26 points today. Down 3% for the week. Well, no, that's not quite right, is it? What did I write down 3% for? I don't know why I wrote that. But anyway, it's down. It's down 3% for the year. I know that so far. Bonds for the week. Long bond went from 241 to 223. Huge move for the week. So from a disinflation trade standpoint, I say we got that one right. But even more so, man, I told you this was going to be a nasty week. The cot structure was bad, and we were heading into option and contract expiration. I said, do not buy anything before Friday. And then even as late as Wednesday, I said, I think the end of this week is going to be pretty good. And lo and behold, what a bounce back and reversal today, particularly in gold. Gold went out 1279 on the COMEX. It's actually 1284 as I record this shortly after about 4:30 now, East Coast time, with just a little time left on the Globex. Really, really strong stuff in gold today. And we're back in that position in silver, where silver, yes, it bounced back, but it's still maybe a third of what it took off yesterday. And now silver, just like earlier this month, is poised to play catch-up. Should gold hold these gains and extend next week, silver is going to catch up really fast and probably provide you an opportunity once again on the long side. But, you know, before we get carried away with that, though, regardless of how that looks, wait till you hear what I have to tell you about the COT report, because it should be something that gives you pause. Given the history of what those COT numbers mean. Anyway, like I said, stocks down big today. Bond rates are crashing around the world. The 10-year German Bund is down to 33 basis points, just a couple of basis points above what a Japanese bond is at. The 30-year long Bund is actually under 1%. My goodness. And really, the numbers in the U.S. are trending that way as well. I mean, if because of deflation in Japan and Germany, they can get away, or I guess their bonds are priced that low, well, at some point, people are going to figure out the same problem here in the U.S. So these rates are only going lower. 10-year now, 167, and a new all-time low in the long bond, 2.25%. Oh, my gosh. There are currency issues around the globe. You know that. Adding to the mix today were Mexico, Brazil. We now are looking at a hot war in Israel and Lebanon. Nasrallah of Hezbollah declared basically all-out war on Israel today, so that's only going to heat up. And that got priced into the crude oil market, actually, today. Crude steel can't get above $48. If it ever does, especially if it gets back above 50, you may see a pretty serious short squeeze in crude. That might be something worth fiddling with. I know I've been telling you once it broke through 44, it looked like 40, but again, that doesn't take into account the changing geopolitical structure. And that is obviously going to take precedent over a chart. So keep your eyes and ears open, okay? Anyway, hell of a day today. Hell of a day. Really big, strong bounce back to end the month. And here's something you should hang your hat on before we get to the data and the charts. Gold for the month up slightly over $100. It finished up December at $1,184. And as I said, right now, I got about $1,285. That's a $100 move, 8.5% in the opening month of 2015. Contrast that with the paper bugs and their S&P 500 down 64 points on the month, 3.1%. Big win for gold and part of a trend that you're going to see continue as we go through this year. No doubt about that. Okay. Where do we start? Well, huge declines in open interest in gold the last 2 days, which, duh, with the February contract expiring yesterday, you knew that was going to happen. And we obviously shook out a lot of longs, particularly in silver, and we actually had a lot of shorts in silver. But nonetheless, let's look at the gold picture, because I think it bottomed out not only in price, but also in open interest yesterday. Down 20,000 on Wednesday and Thursday, while price was down $37. Okay, that's all kinds of the spec long liquidation, dropping the open interest down to 418,171. Well, now those specs go to the sidelines yesterday, and then when things start going, hoping the prices are going to go lower, right? Hey, let's buy in and even lower prices, average back in, whatever. But then, boom, we reverse today, and all those specs go, oh, shit. We got to get back in before it goes higher. And that's how you get this full reversal today. It was a beautiful thing. Great article from my buddy Andy on King World News about how price dropped right to near where all of the major sovereign wholesale bids are at about 1250, not tapping and not filling any of those physical bids. So the banks took price down as far as they possibly could to shake out spec longs and cover shorts, but not far enough that they have to actually deliver physical metal in mass. Okay? Anyway, there's a link here to this brief little thing from Andy. I would encourage you to take a look at it. Anyway, when you're done listening. Anyway, the really big news yesterday in silver was obviously just this crush job, down 7%, $1.31, but actually open interest rose. So we had a, even though I'll give you the COT numbers in a minute from Tuesday, we had a pretty dramatic turnaround in the COT structure just these last 2 days, as there was no doubt big spec dumping yesterday. And obviously some new shorting coming in as well, because open interest actually went up. So we're going to look at the COT structure, and it's criminal. It's nasty. But I would tell you it's not nearly as bad today as it was back on Tuesday when the survey was taken. Okay, anyway, big rally day, looks good. We're going to close for the week above 1280. You know how important 1280 is and always has been, and it sets up a really interesting little battle as we begin next week. So let's start there. Let's look at the two charts of gold. They're the first two listed here on this page. We have a four-hour chart. That's that kind of grayish chart. But then we also have a weekly chart, because there's something significant to look at there. On the 4 hour, you can clearly see the gauntlet that they laid down, capping price at 1300 earlier this week and late last week, before breaking it down and obviously smashing it yesterday and the day before. But we rallied right back, and now you can clearly see the bold red line at 1300. But if you were to connect that second peak, that's up at around 1307, and connect it with a little bit of a bounce back rally we had on Tuesday and extend it down, you can see that price is almost up to that, if you want to call it very short-term trend line. So let's watch that as soon as we get going Sunday night and Monday, and let's just see how price interacts with it. Because if we move back through there and violate that trend line, there's really can be hardly any doubt that we're going to 1300. Okay, and that's very important, because if gold's going to extend back up to where it was 7 days ago, well, why in the hell wouldn't silver? And silver is sitting down here $1.25 below where it was at the same time 7 days ago. That's an opportunity there, my friend. The March options don't have a lot of time premium in them. That might be something worth taking a look at. But again, this isn't a trading service. I'm just pointing out things that come to mind. I would also point out, on the weekly gold chart, you see our old bugaboo trend line, right? It's been there. We've been riding that thing and being smashed below it for 16, 18 months. I mentioned I had a similar chart like this last Friday maybe, and pointed out to you how whenever gold really popped through that line in March and in July of last year, immediately, or almost immediately, there was a big red candle, weekly candle that followed that, if you notice, in March and in July, took price immediately back down to the line. But look at now. We've blown through, widened a gap out to almost $100 versus the line. And today, this week's red candle, didn't even fill that gap halfway. See that blue mark I put on there showing you the gap still between the low this week? And really, I mean, that blue thing could be even bigger because where we closed. But we didn't get close to getting back to that line. I tell you what, I think that's really interesting. And when you read Steve Santangelo, SRS Rocco's piece that's at the bottom of this podcast, and again, you take this into account, all we've talked about, you know, Ken Hoffman, empty vaults, what happens when Western Investment, Dan Mann returns, they have been desperately painting themselves into a corner here, trying to keep price down, sentiment down, physical demand down. And as I've been alluding here for a couple of weeks, I think it's broken. As desperate as they are, and with all the shorts they're laying on, it's desperation time for them. The bad guys, the banks, the forces of darkness. And we're really at an interesting point here, and we'll see where we go next. Turning to silver, let's look at the same couple of charts. You got a four-hour candlestick chart here in silver, and a daily chart. As I told you yesterday, I would look for support at around that old 1665 neckline. It's exactly where we found support yesterday. And now as we recover, yeah, you know what? I mentioned earlier about 1735 or so, but I think we go through there on any gold strength Monday. I think the key level to watch will be 1780. And you can actually see on the four-hour chart, you can see those same levels. I mean, actually, I mistakenly made the 1665 line in red. It should be black. But the resistance line above it near 1780 is in red. We get above 1780, we should go to 1850. So again, I think there is some really interesting, potentially tradable action here if you are so inclined. Good news on the HUI today. Really nice recovery there, too. Of course, 202 has consistently been a critical level, and we closed right at 202, 201.86 today. Let's just see. I mean, sure looks to me like we're about ready to take another stab at that 200-day moving average, the green line on your chart. As I said, we've dabbled with it on three or four days in the last 2 weeks, but have never been able to close above it. A close above it should really get your attention. And speaking of technical indicators, I mentioned this earlier, the golden cross in April gold that we've noticed, I don't think anybody else has noticed. And it's widening the gap between the two. It's now up to about $4. It's clear for anybody to see, but I've yet to see anything, zero hedge, any place, anybody saying, look at the golden cross, the 50 days through the 100 day. Anyway, we've noticed, you've noticed. I guess really, in the end, that's about all that matters. Finally, the S&P is going to be fun to watch next week. It's been bouncing off of this, let's call it 1990 level. That's the first black line on the chart. Let's see if it continues to bounce off of there. If it doesn't, as I mentioned earlier this week, 1973, that low from back in the middle of December, becomes pretty important. Because if we start breaking down through 1973 on a closing basis, everybody and their brother is going to be able to look at this daily chart and go, oh, crap, boy, does that look like a top. And then when you start figuring out everything else that's screwed up in the world, like these record low interest rates, things could really get hairy for the paper bugs. So watch that next week as well. And as I mentioned, this chart that I got from Zero Hedge is just remarkable. That is German Bund yields and Japanese 10-year bond yields going back 25 years, and though they've both been declining over time, if you look at the spread between the two, is sometimes 300-400 basis points, and now all of a sudden it's 3 basis points. Germany has become Japan. America's heading there as well. None of this is, I mean, this is all terrible news. And I have one last news item here that I just is breathtaking. Just hit Zero Hedge, I don't know, about an hour ago, that there's a bank in Denmark that is now offering negative interest rate mortgages. What? So you can buy a house and the bank will basically pay you? In a way, I guess the value, you're going to take out a loan, you're going to pay the principal on the loan, but the principal declines over time? because you're paying less and less interest? I don't even know how that works. That is so utterly screwed up. Oh my God. I just stunned when I read this. And to think that 99% of the world, when everything breaks apart, is going to sit back and go, how did we see this coming? They're giving away negative interest rate mortgages in Denmark. Oh, good heavens. Finally, the COT. And again, I caution you, one, against getting too excited about getting long, okay? Because even at these low prices, this COT structure is totally effed up. At the same time, it has no doubt improved over the last 2 days, 3 days, since this COT survey was taken on Tuesday. But in gold, for the COT week, price was almost flat, while open interest was up 8,000. Open interest, total open interest on Tuesday closed at 438,000. Now, by yesterday, it was down to 418. Okay, that's that 20,000 coming off into expiration. But the survey itself showed the large specs increasing their net long position by nearly, well, I guess a little bit more than 26,000 contracts. Their total net long position is now 189,000 contracts. The net long ratio of the gold large specs is 4.8 to 1. That is a terribly bearish COT structure. Bearish in the sense that when it gets that extreme, the banks always raid, always rig the price dramatically lower to shake as many of the specs back out so that the banks can cover all their shorts that they've had to add. Speaking of adding positions, this is how dramatic it's been. Like I said, price is up 8.5% in a month. A month ago, the large specs had a net position of 116,000 contracts. Again, now it's 189. So with all of that spec buying, who do you think is selling? The commercials, of course. In just this COT week, they dumped another 3,600 longs, lowering their long position to only 117,000 contracts. Really, really low. And added another 25,000 gross paper naked shorts. This brings their net short position. Remember, there was a time in June at the bottom, that first bottom in June of 2013, the net short position of the gold commercials got down to 22,000 contracts. Net. As of last Tuesday, it was 206,000 contracts. And price barely even changed. What are they so afraid of? Why are they working so hard to compress price? That's a good question, huh? And again, just going back a month ago, the gross short position of the gold banks was 239,000 contracts. Now it's 323 and change. That change, at 84,000 brand new naked shorts in a month. That's 263 metric tons of paper, or about the equivalent of the entire gold holdings of the country of Austria. So you're here to tell me, well, Jeff Christian is here to tell you, that 84,000 new naked shorts provided by the gold banks, 263 metric tons of paper gold, that was all hedging by gold miners. Yeah, that's all. Of course it is. Oh my gosh. This is so patently, like I wrote about this week, totally patently 100% unfair. So as much as we like gold, as much as we like, I mean, it all comes with a warning. Now, again, I think they are really screwed and painted into a corner, which may make them even more dangerous. But you have to be aware of this COT structure if you're in there trying to, I don't know, manage price, trade, adjust your purchases. This COT structure is terrible. Now, it got better. It got better Wednesday and Thursday. But whoa. Again, the criminal banks have added 263 metric tons of paper gold to the COMEX in just the last 4 weeks. Desperate to contain this rally to only 8%. And in silver, it's just as bad. This is horrible. It just disgusts me. You know that. I can't hardly even talk about how much this disgusts me. Silver for the week, the COT week. Again, this before the big smashdown yesterday was up 13 cents, 0.75%. Open interest up 2,500 contracts. The large specs added to their net long position again by 7,000 contracts. They added 3,500 longs and covered 3,500 shorts. Makes the silver large spec net long ratio 5.3 to 1. That was as of Tuesday. Is there any surprise that silver was jammed down by more than 7% yesterday? Oh my God. 5.3 to 1 is an extraordinarily, terrifyingly bearish long ratio for the large specs. Always indicative of the top. Always in the past, at least. Terrible. And look at what the silver commercials J.P. Morgan have done again for the week. Selling 600 longs, adding 5,300 new shorts on top of the 8,000 they added last week. And over that same, I guess, month, you know, going back to that COT from the Tuesday right before the end of the year. So over the last 4 weeks, the silver commercials have barely budged their long position. It was 60,600 back then. It's now almost exactly 60,000. So they're not dumping longs. But they've added 22,000 new shorts. The total silver, and now think about this. This is the paper metal, right? This is the silver COMEX, okay? The total silver COMEX gross short position of the banks, the commercials, is now 121,557 contracts. At least it was back on Tuesday. That, my friend, at 5,000 ounces of contract is 608 million ounces. The world only produces about 800 million ounces a year. So the banks on the COMEX are now short 3/4 of total global mine supply. And it's the banks, I mean, I'm talking the top 4, 5, 6 biggest banks are short 3/4 of total global mine supply. Again, Jeffrey, we tell you that they're hedging for the silver producers. And this is just so patently criminal. I mean, it's just astonishing. Again, I don't need to go plow all this ground again. You know how this works. The point is, you've got, as much as I love silver, as much as I think the chart looks right, as much as I would expect silver to catch up if gold continues to rally next week, and it should, this COT structure is terrible from a traditional point of view. Now, it may just be getting away from them. They've desperately tried to tamp down investment demand and price that goes with it, right, for the last 18 months, and they might just be finally breaking before your very eyes. God knows we saw it fray back in November with the physical paper connection fraying. And so maybe this is just an extension of that. Maybe the bank's just not knowing any better and just figuring, screw it. I mean, we're too big to fail, so we might as well just keep on shorting. We're just going to keep on shorting. We don't give a damn if it all breaks. Maybe that's what we're seeing. In the end, I feel good, really good, about any physical purchases I'd make at 1280 or 17. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I think those are going to work out just fine. But man, this is breathtaking how bad the COT is, given where price is. What are they doing? All right. I look down at the computer. Looks like my audio has been a little whacked here, so I apologize if I've been a little over-modulated. I've tried to kind of keep my volume level down so as not to blow your eardrums out, but if I did, I apologize. Hey, look, it's been a crazy week, and you run down those headlines, you just can't believe all the crap that's going on. And you got these just extraordinary large short positions by the banks on the COMEX, and you wonder, what in the hell are they doing? So just take it for what it's worth. Understand that the volatility you saw this week, even though expirations are behind us now for another couple of weeks, it ain't going to quit. I mean, these banks are going to keep beating the grass as hard as they can to try to scare people out of paper metal. And, you know, when you read about Andy's stuff about sovereign bids, it's going to be really hard. If they're really in a jam and out of metal and can't fill those orders, as Andy talks about, as SRS Rocco talks about, we got the empty vaults, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be really hard for them to drive price down to the point where the speculators bail and they can cover. Oh, man. Crazy time to be alive. So come back next week and we'll just do it again. Wow. All right. Thank you for listening. Let's see what happens Sunday and Monday. In the meantime, check the site over the weekend. There'll be some fun new content. I had a really fascinating interview today with some guy that emailed me, said he wanted to interview me, and I, okay, whatever. He was persistent about it. And so I sat for this interview on Skype for about a half an hour, and it was combative. I mean, it was, he came at me full bore about eating my hat and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was all in, I mean, I considered it good fun. Didn't scare me in any way. And it was great fun, actually, rather than just the regular softball questions about stuff. I mean, this dude and I got busy. So if I get a link to that, I'll post it into this podcast page, because I think you'll all get a real kick out of listening to it. So look for that as well. And, officially, Turd is on the Seahawks, looking for maybe a 3 or 4 point win for the Seahawks, easily covering the spread. So there you go. All right. Hey, I got to go. That's 26 minutes. Thank you for listening. And get ready for another fun week next week. Oh, my goodness. This is Turd signing off for the week and for the month of January. We'll see you in February. Have a great weekend. I'm out.